Good morning to you all.
Good
and happy Easter. Turn to the person next to you and say happy Easter to them. Turn to the person the other side of you and say happy Easter to them too. And then on the count of three, I want you all to shout happy Easter back at me. That's not three. After three, Matt Buttery. One, two, three.
Happy Easter!
Happy Easter, everybody. This is a really big deal for us at the King's Arms, and this is a really exciting morning. It's a pleasure for me to come and speak with you. But I don't know whether you've asked the question, why is it that we celebrate Easter? Because some people may well think that we celebrate Easter because of those cute and cuddly little chickens that we get to see. But is that the real reason that we celebrate Easter? No, it's not. It's not. Is it because of the fact that we get to shove our faces full of loads of chocolate and then enjoy all of these eggs? Is that the real reason that we celebrate Easter? It's not the real reason. Is it because of the fact that we get a two-day extra long weekend where we get to go and enjoy the beach and some rain? Is that the reason? That's not the reason. So, do we celebrate Easter because of the fact that something amazing happened to a man called Jesus? It is. But is there anyone, maybe someone who's under the age of 10, who could come and share with us what actually happened to Jesus? Someone put their hand in the air. Do you want to come up? Well done, mate. Can you say, nice and loudly, what was it that happened to Jesus?
He was taken to the cross to get crucified at there.
He did, and then what happened?
At the end of it all, they took his cross down.
Yeah. And then did he come back?
Yeah.
Then he rose again?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wow, take an egg. There you go. Huge round of applause. That is awesome. See, not only did Jesus die, but Jesus came and rose again. And that is the reason that we're here to celebrate. That very fact is at the center of all that we believe as Christians. But you see, 2 days ago, we had Good Friday. But have you ever wondered what made that particular Friday so good? Why was that Friday any different from any other Friday? And to understand how good that Friday was, what we first need to realize is how bad the situation was. And so, you see, when Jesus used to be on the earth, he used to teach and he taught us what God was really like. You see, God wasn't just like a kind of a Morgan Freeman in a kind of bright white suit. God isn't the old man who's very, very distant with a kind of walking stick and a great big long beard. Nor is he a kind of a puppy dog with, you know, who's very tame and very manageable. But this was the God that Jesus spoke about, who threw the stars into space. The God who knows the very intricacies of your life. In fact, it says that he knows every single hair that's on your head. Now, just while we're on the subject, let me say that God is good and God is fair. To some he gave brains, to others he gave hair. Now, but what he did was he spoke about the fact that God was pure, God was powerful, and God was altogether 100% good. And in fact, in those days, they had a word which described God. It was a word that summed up that God and his power, and that word is holy. God is holy. He's like a power plant compared to a plug socket. More like this mighty forest fire in comparison to a match. More like a tsunami in comparison to a wave, but utterly, wonderfully perfect. But you see, those who knew Jesus also knew that Jesus taught what we were truly like as well. He taught that we, in actual fact, were the complete opposite to what God was like. And so whilst God is goodness through and through, perfect to the millionth degree, we most definitely are not. And so there's selfishness, and there's pride, and there's lies and dishonesty. And it's something that actually infects the whole of humanity. All of us humans suffer with it. And so whilst the word that was used to describe God was holy, the word that was used to describe us was actually sinful. Now, they knew that this left them with a problem when it came to getting up close and comfortable with God. Now, think of it this way. Has anybody here played the game darts before? Leighton Milner, yours was the first hand that I saw. Well done. See, it pays to be engaged and throw your arm in the air at times. You see, God created us with the ability to play darts and hit the bullseye every single time. But now we're in this place where we can't even hit the board. We're kind of throwing these darts and they're hitting all over the place. In fact, there are holes in the wall all over the place. We are constantly falling short. We are constantly missing the target. We are constantly not making the grade. And you see, even the smallest blemish, even the smallest sin, actually, it makes a huge difference. Just ask any mums in the room who say, actually, one single tiny red sock can make a huge difference when it comes to whitewashing, right? Just ask the people who are thinking, you know, how many salmonella germs does it take to close a restaurant down? Not many. It's the same as one tiny oily thumbprint on a perfect white wedding dress. Just like oil and water, God and sin don't mix. Now, I heard of a man who was in a courtroom, who was on trial, and this man was asked to give his plea to the trial, and straight away he said, "I'm not guilty." 4 hours into the trial, after the evidence started to go, he suddenly shouted out, "I'm guilty, I'm guilty." And the judge said, "Hold on a minute. Why did you not tell us 4 hours ago that you were guilty?" And he said, "Well, at that point, I hadn't heard all of the evidence." You know, the truth is that we are all guilty of sin. All of that sin, it disconnects us with God. It makes us far away, and it makes God seem distant. But you know, we were created to be in relationship with God. We were created to know him and enjoy his company forever. But it's that sin that causes a barrier between us. It's that sin that gets in the way. And so it's like a cloud, it's like a smog between us and God, and it separates us from being able to feel the warmth of his love. But you know, Jesus did not come merely to make God's love possible. Jesus came to make God's love visible. And do you know something? We have value to God. We have value to God. Here is a £20 note. Brilliant. This particular £20 note is clean and crisp and came from Dot Lundy's purse this morning. Who can tell me how much this £20 note is worth? Matt Buttery, stop putting your hand up. Okay. Any children who want to tell me how much that £20 note is worth? Come on, how much is it worth? How much is a £20 note worth? You've got it, £20. Round of applause, well done. Okay, so we've established that a £20 note is worth £20. But hold on a moment. What happens if I were to crease that £20 note up? You know, what happens if I were to, you know, give it a jolly good wrestle, you know, scrunch, scrunch, scrunch? How much now is that £20 note worth? It is all creased, but how much is the £20 note now worth now it's all creased? You're right, it is still worth £20. Come down here and get yourself an egg. Okay, now, so we know that a really creased, scrunched up note is still worth £20. But hold on a minute. What would happen if I were to cover that £20, though, in some muds? Because I've actually got a load of fluff in my pocket, right? And so if we just scrub that down, if we kind of, you know, dirt it up a little bit, right? We've made it a little bit of a mess. Now, oh, hello. Now we've got a scrunched up, dirty £20 note in my pocket. How much is that £20 note worth? I saw this little hand down here first. It's still worth £20. Well done. So, now what's the point? What's the point? The point is that it doesn't matter how much sin you have committed. It doesn't matter what you've done or what's being done to you. You have never lost your value in God's eyes. You have never lost your value in God's eyes. And it's because of the fact that you and I are so valuable to God that Jesus came to deal with all that bad stuff. To pay the penalty for our sin, to die on our behalf. He loves us. He wants to restore us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to forgive us. That's why Jesus came to the earth. But it cost him his life. But is that the end of the story? Is Good Friday the end of the story when Jesus went? No. No, it's not. That's not the end of the story. And that's why we're here to celebrate. You know, on at least 5 recorded occasions, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to die, but then 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. He said that. And that's what happened. You know, all the authorities, those ones who thought that Jesus was a troublemaker, they were uncorking the champagne. They were convinced that this upstart preacher was no more. And then suddenly, he pops up again. Suddenly, he's here, there, and everywhere, no longer dead and buried, but walking, talking, and even eating. And so, having thoroughly executed Jesus and sealed him in this tomb, the word on the street is that Jesus is not only alive, but he's in remarkably good health. And you know, historians, they see the resurrection of Jesus as one of the most authenticated events in ancient history. But there are in recent times certain rumors that have come up to suggest maybe that actually didn't happen. You see, some would say that Jesus never really died. Maybe he just passed out. You know, maybe he was a little bit tired, a little bit sore, so he passed out. But you know, Jesus had been flogged. Jesus had been crucified. And Jesus had had a spear thrust through his chest. There was no way that a professional executioner would have allowed that to happen if he hadn't have been really dead. And so the prospect of Jesus jumping up, kind of brushing himself down and trying to get out of the linens that had been wrapped around him so that he could push a 2-ton boulder over, well, that's absolutely ridiculous. Others say that maybe Jesus' body had been stolen. Maybe it had been taken right from underneath the noses of the followers so the followers could pretend that he had risen. But you know, Jesus' followers, they were all disillusioned and distraught, hiding from the guards, trying to keep their heads down out of the way. And it was actually a lady called Mary who went down to the tomb only to find it empty. And then Jesus himself appeared to her. And then there are other people who would say, maybe it was all just craziness in their head. Maybe they all gone nuts. Maybe they were all hallucinating. But you know, there was nothing brief or casual about the contact that the disciples had with the risen Jesus. You know, it amazed me to discover that there were over 500 different people who actually encountered, spoke with, and interacted with Jesus during 40 days where they couldn't stop bumping into him. It happened all over the place. It happened on the road. It happened by the lake. It happened in private rooms. It happened on a hill. And you know, these weren't 2-minute kind of quick, how's your father type conversations. They talked and they talked and they even touched him and they ate together. You know, his resurrection authenticates everything that he said and everything that he did. And you know, the reason that I'm a follower of Jesus, the reason that I am a Christian is because Jesus is alive and impacts my life today. But what effect does that have now? You know, what difference might that thing that happened 2,000 years ago actually have now in an April in Bedford? You know, it could be here that you're here this morning and you're a Christian. You know, you'd say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. And my hope is that this message just serves as a wonderful reminder of how much God loves you. You know, it sounds every time it sounds good when your wife or your husband tells you that they love you. It's a reminder of how devoted they are to you. But it may also be that you've never heard this message before. It may be that you've never realized or had it explained to you what the real message of Jesus is about. And it may be that actually you've never had the opportunity to respond to Jesus and say, you know what, I want that. Some of those things that those people who are getting baptized shared, I want those things in my life, that peace, that protection, that life. And so I want to give you an opportunity this morning, in a little while, to respond to Jesus for yourself. You see, I believe that Jesus this morning wants you to know him. 3 years, Jesus taught his disciples and different people in and around the towns where he lived. And he communicated in stories, in parables and pictures to illustrate who he was. And you know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, so that bakers could understand. He said, I am the water of life, so that plumbers could understand. He said, I am the light of the world, so that electricians could understand. He said, I am the cornerstone, so that architects could understand. I'm the hidden treasure, so that bankers could understand. I'm the life, so that biologists could understand. I'm the door, so that carpenters could understand. I'm the good teacher so that educators could understand. I'm the lily of the valley so that florists could understand. I'm the righteous one so that judges could understand. I'm the pearl of great price so that jewelers could understand. I'm the word so that actors could understand. I'm the good shepherd so farmers can understand. I'm the Alpha and the Omega so that scientists could understand. I am the way so traffic wardens could understand. I am the truth so that politicians could understand. There is no doubt that Jesus wanted you to know that he is the one. He is the one. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one. Now, as we draw this to a close, I want to share with you three things. I want to share with you three things that if we receive Jesus as the Savior, if we step into that relationship with him, but you know, I'm going to need some help to be able to do that. I'm going to need someone, one with long arms, and two who can read. And because you see, I've been able to get my hands on some ancient manuscript scrolls. And they need people who are going to be really delicate to do so. Do you want to come up here? Okay. Our first ancient manuscript is here. Now, we've got to be really careful with these. I need you to unroll it. Are you going to struggle with your arm like that, aren't you? My word. God, dear. Right, you hold the bottom end. I'll hold the top for you. So we're going to unroll it. And then you've got to read real loud so that everyone can hear you. Let's get the microphone for you. That's right. Hold on.
Ephesians 1:7-8.
Yep.
He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding.
Wonderful. Can we give him a round of applause? There, bro. Whoop. Let's put it down. We have got to be super careful with those ancient manuscripts. The first thing that Jesus offers us when we come to him, and his resurrection authenticates what he said, is he offers us forgiveness from the past. Everything that we've ever done wrong, everything that has ever been sinful, all of that sin that pollutes your veins, pollutes your minds, pollutes your arteries, you can have it washed, clean, cleansed, restored. Wonderful news. Wonderful news. Okay, I need someone else who's going to do our second one. Do you want to come forward for me? Spotted you for next time, Kai, don't worry. Right, oh, hello, let's leave that to one side for a minute. Right, you grab that. I will get the ancient manuscript number 2. Be really careful with it. You hold the bottom one. Let's unscroll it together. Good man. Okay.
Romans 6:4. For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we are also made live new life.
Wonderful. Well done. Give him a round of applause. Well done, buddy. Great work. Now we may also have new lives. Now think for a moment, your life is like a car. Okay? Think for a moment, where is Jesus in the car of your life? The first place he might be is maybe he's in the boot. Maybe he's been shut away, and maybe you're the sort of person who would kind of bring him out on special occasions. You know, maybe on an Easter morning sometime in April. Maybe after the meeting, you'd be like, get back in there, Jesus. Go on, get away. You know, I don't want anyone to know that I'm a follower of Jesus. Maybe Jesus in the back seat. Maybe you kind of, you know, you talk to him every now and then when you can be bothered. Maybe he's around but has no real impact in your life. But maybe you'll say to me, no, Steve, I know where this is going. Jesus is definitely in the driving seat of my life. He's definitely there. Well, I've got a question for you guys too. Are you a backseat driver? Is it the case that when Jesus says to you sometimes, you know, we're going to turn left here. We're going to go down Forgiveness Street. Maybe your response is, well, I don't want to forgive. Does Jesus sometimes ask you to turn right down Generosity Road? Well, I don't want to be generous. You know, too many people use the tag Christian and actually give Jesus a really bad name. The challenge of Christianity is to follow the founder and live by his principles. He wants us to put him in the driving seat, and then we'll begin to see his power. Because you see, in this new life, he wants you to achieve your potential. And actually, the more access we give him, the more love, the more peace, the more patience, the more kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control we will see in our lives. That's the new life that we can expect when we give ourselves to him. Our third thing, Kaya Holly, come here, you've been waving at me. Right, you grab that. Okay, our third scroll, be really delicate with it, let's not rip it.
1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Wonderful. Well done. Can we thank Kaya? Grab an egg. Well done, sweetheart. In a world where there is very little hope, where generally there is hopelessness, we can have hope. You know, hope is often like a hospital gown. You're usually not as well covered as you think you are. So when the difficult times come, when the bad situations come, it's then the circumstances of your life. But you know, through Jesus, we can have hope and full assurance of an eternity in heaven with God. You know, I want to give you this morning an opportunity to respond to this. An opportunity to say, Jesus, I want you in the driving seat of my life. To give your sin to him, allow him to wash you clean, forgive you of everything that you've done wrong, to start a new life with him today and receive hope for the future. To receive hope for the future. Now, I want everybody in the room, please, to close their eyes and just for a moment think about what God's speaking to you. Just think back to some of the things that I've said. You know, Christians are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. And this morning, Jesus is offering every one of you the opportunity to have forgiveness from the past, new life, and hope for the future. And so if that's you, if you're here this morning, you're saying, you know, I want that. We do that by just saying a prayer to God. by saying sorry for the things that we've done wrong. Thank you for dying in my place. And please come and lead me for the future. And so I'm going to say a short prayer. And if that's you, just repeat this prayer to yourself in your heart. It's between you and God. Lord Jesus, I come to you and saying I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things that I've done that have separated me from you. I'm sorry for my sin. And Jesus, I thank you that you died for my sin and you rose again victorious. And Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and guide me, lead me, and give me that new life that I'm eager to have. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now keep your eyes closed for a moment. If that's you this morning, I would love to speak to you after the service. I want you just to raise a hand for me so I can see where you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? That's five. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I've got some friends as well who might just want to come and say hey to you and just speak to you about that. But listen, it has been an awesome privilege speaking to you this morning. What I do want to say as far as Alpha goes is that I love Alpha. I have the privilege of being on the team who lead Alpha. And I want to say to you that if anything has been provoked in you this morning that says, you know what, I need to ask some questions, I would say Alpha is a great place to start. Don't be afraid to ask big questions of life. They are much easier to handle than making big mistakes. And so in a moment, I think we're all going to go down, but I'm going to welcome Wendy up. But thank you so much for listening so intently. It's been my pleasure to speak to you. Thank you.